Right, so thinking of Cadbury, I wonder what you know about Cadbury. Cadbury's, there's some good ethics here and good values. As we see Cadbury's, they started in 1824 selling tea, coffee and cocoa and drinking chocolate. Did you know that? Who's been to Cadbury World? Is it still there? In the old days, you go to Cadbury's World, you get a mug in the shape of a chocolate, a piece of chocolate. Do you remember those? Fantastic. You get freebies, free chocolate. Go now, you pay a fortune, you hardly get anything. But Mr. Cadbury, wonderful man, wonderful. He was a, does anybody know what he was? He was a Quaker, a Shaker, a Quaker. And he was a Christian who wanted to help the poor, the needy. The workers in those days were not really treated very well, but he was excellent. He built homes for them and so on. And the whole idea of Cadbury's was this was healthier drinks than the alcoholic drinks. Okay? So when you eat your Cadbury's, you're being good. All right. Fair trade. Anybody know about fair trade? What's that about? What do they do? Yeah, fair price, fair labour. So it's making sure the workers, not the middlemen, not the people who sell it and the people who bring it, but the people who work out there are looking after the cocoa trees and things. If cocoa does grow on a tree, doesn't it? Yeah, I thought it did. Just had a blank then. And so it aims to make sure that producers in other countries are given a fair price for their labour rather than money being taken by those who distribute or sell the goods. They are famous for... You can unzip one of these. Yeah, famous for bananas and cocoa. Okay, and they do all sorts of things today. Boots. Why is that good? Well, boots, what do they sell? No. They sell... Well, this is how he started. He started in the 1800s with as a herbal medicine shop aiming to help customers to find remedies for their sicknesses. So, what's in a name? Let's carry on, shall we, and look at this amazing scripture in Isaiah. You can go to the next slide. Yeah, what does that say? Oh, let's all say that together. He will be called the Son of the Most High. Next slide. And we'll come to Luke chapter 2 later on. Okay, there's no slides now for what I'm going to talk on, but what's in a name? Well, there are lots of names floating around before the birth of Jesus, during the birth of Jesus, and after the birth of Jesus. Some amazing titles and names that we'll look into a few of them today. Isaiah, 600 years before Jesus was born, predicted, prophesied that the promised leader would be a kind leader and a kind of person, a kind person and a kind king. When Mary was told she would be giving birth to this amazing person, she heard that he would be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their self-centered lives of sin. The Son, then he would be called, the angel said it, he would be called the Son of the Most High, above all, above everyone. And the angels told the shepherds that the baby who had been born was Christ the Lord. I see this as a wonderful name. We see him as a wonderful person and he gives us a wonderful future. So let's delve into some of these thoughts today for a few minutes. A wonderful name. It's called the Son of Man. Unto us a child is born. Jesus 78 times referred to himself as the Son of Man. And that's amazing, isn't it? And it's in the present tense, for unto us a child is born, because it was as certain of as if it had already been done already. In Genesis 3:15, we read about even at the beginning of time, in Genesis, the book of beginnings, how God had prepared in the future a sacrifice. And in Revelation, it actually tells us before Genesis, before the beginning of creation, God, Christ himself, was slain before the foundation of the world. So don't think Jesus was a victim of the Roman occupation or wicked religious bigots and leaders. No, God had planned this before the world began. The Son of Man, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That means he is not only the Son of Man, but the Son of God, as we look deeper into these truths. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever, that includes you, put your name there, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he's also not only the Son of Man, the Son of God, but also the Son of David, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Don't you just love your politicians? Don't you love your government? Who are getting everything right? Aren't they so good at what they do? Wow. No, I'm not really believing that, am I? Because at the moment, we're not ruled by the Son of God, Son of Man. But the government will be on his shoulders, is on his shoulders, but it's behind the scenery at the moment. And in this position, he will do us a great deal of kindness, for he, as someone said, he is invested with the highest honor, the highest power. So we cannot but be happy if he is our friend. Is Jesus your friend? In spite of the politicians and the presidents and the prime ministers and the kings of this world failing us, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. So he's got a wonderful name, Jesus. He's a wonderful person. It's the highest name, isn't it? The Son of the Most High, the angel Gabriel said. And he's wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's wonderful. Why? Because he's both God and man. How can that be? Don't know. I didn't say it. I didn't make it up, because God told us this. And if you understand it, then you'll be pretty much like God. But what we do, we accept it. God in the flesh. God, man. Oh, he was wonderful. He was the wonder of the angels and the glorified saints at that conception. And then at his birth, when the shepherds came and the angels appeared, what an amazing time that was. And right throughout his life, he was wonderful. Wonderful miracles, wonderful healings, wonderful salvations, wonderful deliverances. Everything about Jesus was wonderful. And that word wonder means miracle. It's the miracle Son, the miracle God amongst us. Glory to his wonderful name. And he was glorious and wonderful in his death. You think, how can death be wonderful? It's horrible. It's ugly. But on the cross, we see his glory. We see the glory of the resurrection, the glory of the ascension, the wonder of it all. A constant series of wonders attended him. You've heard of the Marvel Comics. Eat your heart out, Marvel. Marvel films, Marvel comics, they are rubbish compared with the one who really is marvelous. He is our Saviour. And he's wonderful. But in some Bibles, the wonderful Counselor or wonderful is separate from Counselor. But today, let me just look at the word Counselor. For he, as someone wrote, he is intimately acquainted with the counsels of God from eternity. And now he gives counsel and advice that determines our destiny. How cool is that? Think about that. The one who created the universe, he is willing to give you advice. Why do we worry? Why do we fret? Why do we spend £50 on somebody to come and counsel us when we have the wonderful Counselor with us? Jesus said, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, will come. One just like me will be with you. So the Counselor is with you today. So give him all your troubles. Give him all your worries. You know, the healthiest people in regard to mental health on the planet are Christians. Do you know that? That's a fact. They've done surveys in America to prove that. Because there's a lot of talk about mental health, and there's a lot of gibberish that goes on about people's mental health. Be very careful what you get sucked into, friends. Rather, come to the Word of God. The best mental health program you will ever find is in the Word of God. He will change. He will transform you. You know, psychiatrists are twice as likely to kill themselves than you or I. So be careful who you go to. But let's come to the counselor. The one who determines our footsteps and guides us day by day. He's the mighty God, almighty, it says in one translation. In other words, he has the strength to fulfill the plans, and not only the strength to do it, but he actually does it. And I love the fact that he's called mighty. This is reassuring when you're in a battle, because the Christian life is a bit of a battle, isn't it? At times, it's a fight. That's why we like the word Emmanuel. He came, God with us, God to destroy the darkness by bringing in the light. The light always overcomes the darkness. He is Emmanuel, but he is here. It says he's the mighty warrior. Do you know what that means? You've got a giant on your side. What that means? It means you've got a champion on your side. Who would not want to go through life on the without a champion, without a giant, without somebody who's already been there, already done what needs to be done in people's hearts and lives? Mighty, powerful, warrior, valiant, it says, all in Strong's Concordance. He is able to save. I love this phrase, and I've not always understood it. He is able to save to the uttermost. And the old preachers used to say, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Isn't that great? What does it mean? Save to the uttermost. Powerful, isn't it? Well, John Owen, who was a great theologian hundreds of years ago, he said this. He pointed out that saving to the uttermost means that Christ will not bring about part of our salvation and leave what remains to ourselves and others. Isn't that great? So it's all of grace from start, in the middle, and to finish. It's all of God. You've not got to work it out on your own. He does it for you. It's his grace. You have a responsibility to read his word and pray and be in deep and wonderful relationship with him. But know today, I'll read it again, what John Owen said in regard to saving to the uttermost. That means that Christ will not bring about part of our salvation. So those of you who are thinking, you're fretful, you think, am I really saved? He will not bring about part of our salvation and leave what remains to ourselves and to others. So if you fail this year, or even this Christmas, he is able to save to the uttermost. He'll pick you up, he'll dust you down, and he'll set you on your way again. That's how good our Savior is. He's the everlasting Father. How can he be the Father when he's the Son? Well, that's a good one, isn't it? But Jesus, when Thomas and Andrew and others, Philip, the disciples were there just before Jesus died, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen Father. For I and the Father are one. And he's the everlasting. Some of you perhaps didn't have a good dad. Perhaps you were let down by him. Perhaps you're broken in your heart. But listen, this is the Father of compassion. He's the Father of mercies. He's the Father of light. He will bring to you whatever you need. I remember when I lost my father, feeling that underneath and round about me, the everlasting arms of a father who cared for me. I lost my dad. That was horrible, wasn't he, leaving us? These were on holiday, didn't get back in time, he'd gone. How rude. But, you know, people die, don't they, when they're going to die, when God says it's their time, and that's what happened. And I thought, wow, I'm an orphan, like, I've no daddy anymore. But then I realized in the Word of God, he, our Savior, is the everlasting Father. So pick yourself up today. Realize with these words, you are safe. You are saved. You are strong in him. He will keep you. He will bring about his work of redemption to completion. And he won't let you down. He's got your back, this dad. And he's the Prince of Peace. As king, he preserves peace. As king, he commands peace. As king, he creates peace. He is our peace, and it's his peace that keeps our hearts ticking over. So that even though we go through deep waters and awful struggles, he's with us. Dave spoke about it the other week, didn't they? Well, it's not when we go through the valley of death, we stay in that valley. We go through the valley of the shadow of death, and we will fear no evil. Why? Because this Prince of Peace is with us to be the umpire in our hearts. Peace will be the umpire. Because if you don't know what to do, you make a decision, make sure the umpire is there. If you lose your peace, don't worry. It might be God saying, no, don't go through that. The door might have opened, but don't go through it. It's not the right one. So be at peace. Know the peace of God. And the Hebrew word, of course, is shalom. Say shalom. You didn't say it like a Jew? Say shalom. I couldn't say it like a Jew because I don't know Hebrew, but how beautiful is that word? It is like, yeah, it's the well-being. Let's get back to mental health. The well-being of the whole person, spirit, soul, body, mind. God's going to bring peace to you. I'm glad you could make. Come forward. We're making an appeal in a moment, so just wait. Peace be upon you. It keeps us safe. This amazing word, shalom, do you know what it means? Going back to good old Strong's again. He says it keeps us safe, makes us happy, cares about our health and happiness and prosperity. Wow. That is the kind of peace God gives us. And then we see a wonderful future. The Father will devolve it on him. As someone said, he will have an incontestable right to govern. There will be no doubt, for he will govern so well, everyone will know. One day, every knee will bow. Then there will be peace and justice and righteousness. It says, it speaks of multiplication, of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end. There will be no end to the enlargement of the kingdom of God. Every day, souls are getting saved. Every day, people are being added to this kingdom. Isn't that good news? And 24, we're going to see more souls saved than we've ever seen before in this world in which we live. And we're believing, the pastors together are believing in Rochdale, it's going to be a breakthrough year where we will see, when we go out there on the streets, people make decisions. Many last Saturday, some of you were there last Saturday, thank you for being there, on the streets, and 10 people made decisions. Don't know where they are now, but that's what I was told. They said the sinner's prayer. Let's believe that God's going to do amazing things in Rochdale in the new year. Napoleon. Does anybody remember Napoleon? This is what he said at the end of his life. I marvel that whereas the ambitious dreams of myself, Caesar, and Alexander should have vanished into thin air, a Judean peasant, Jesus, should be able to stretch his hands across the centuries and control the destinies of men and nations. Aren't you glad you don't belong to the kingdom of this world, but you belong to a king who will reign forever and ever and ever. And of his peace, there will be no end. He's such an amazing God. So how do we apply all this? Because he'll be upon David's throne. What do these names mean for us? Well, listen, they say to people, and this might be you, who don't feel very strong, there's a mighty God to rely on. They say to people who need to know they are protected, there's a Father who's always there for you, never lets you down, always has your back. They say to people who are troubled or guilty, there's a Prince of Peace to give peace in our hearts and lives so we can make peace with others and not be in conflict. They say God is with you. He said it before, Emmanuel. It's one of my favorite words in the whole of the world. Emmanuel. Not distant, not out of reach. God with us. This isn't just about a branding. This is better than brands. That inspire loyalty. Do you always use your club card or whatever card you've got from Morrison's or wherever? This is saying the one who is in charge, the one we ought to turn to because we see that Jesus lived out the values of his name. He lived and breathed and rescued. He really did. He did all this and more. And he brought compassion and peace, wisdom and protection, even at the cost of his own life. Jesus gave everything that you might have everything. Jesus became a son of man that we might become the sons of God. Bless his name. And he saves us today from ourselves, from our failings and our foolishness, our selfishness. And he makes us happy, doesn't he? Yes, yes. And the hurts that we get in the world and that are caused by the things of this world, he's the one who saves us from all this. He gets us through whatever we have to face, whatever trial. Those who have drawn near to God through Jesus have been saved to the uttermost. It's the truth. To the uttermost, to the extreme. It's amazing. From start to finish, he's saved us. He's saving us. And ultimately, we'll be completely saved with new bodies. No more aches, no more pains, no more snotty noses. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? What a lot we have to look forward to. Has he saved you? Let's pray, shall we, before we have another Bible reading. Father, thank you for this great news that you are the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And help us to appreciate who you are, that we might live the way you want us to live. So if the band would come right now and we'll sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. I remember we lost our first baby, and it was really horrible, and we went through a tough time, but God brought us through, because you come through these times. And when Carol was having the twins, she was being operated on in one room, and I was in the other room. She had it easy. She was asleep. Yeah, well, you were asleep, weren't you? You were asleep? Yeah, she was asleep. Here's me, all the mental stress, all the worry, the emotions I was going through from the last time. And then on the back of a door, just like that, a wooden door, was this hymn. I mean, they were born in October. Why was that there in October? Hark the herald. And suddenly, all that stress, all that emotion, all that rubbish that the enemy was putting on me dissipated as I read through those words. Maybe you're going through some trouble today. Maybe you're aching in your heart. As we sing this, just look at the words. Look, Charles Wesley was a theologian. This is great theology. Let's sing. Let's stand to sing together, shall we? Thank you.